We're continuing our Lenten sermon series this morning on this Palm Sunday, and we're thinking about Easter living. This morning we turn to the Gospels, and we already heard one version of Palm Sunday this morning. We heard it from the Gospel of Mark that Robert read for us at the beginning of the service. But now we hear from the Gospel of Luke. I invite you to follow along on the screen, your order of worship, or in your Bible, as we listen to Luke's version of this day. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And when Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple. But the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. Well, throughout this Lenten season, we have focused on the letters of Paul. We've listened as Paul writes about and describes what we've been talking about is Easter living. We've read parts of Paul's letters to the Christians in Galatia and in Corinth and in Colossae and in Rome and also in Philippi. And as we have listened to and learned from Paul, we have come to understand some essential truths about what it means to live an Easter life, a resurrected life, a life that is an abundant life. This morning on Palm Sunday, we turn our attention, as we said, to the Gospels, and we focus on the life and ministry of Jesus, particularly the last week of his earthly life. So this morning we ask, what do we learn from Jesus on Palm Sunday about what it means to live an Easter life? In our text for this morning, I think we don't always pause long enough when we read that short phrase in verse 41. "And he wept over the city." Think about that. Jesus wept on Palm Sunday. Why is that important? Well, in part, that's important because this day is normally a day of celebration for us, isn't it? It's a day of joy. It's a triumphal entry. Why is there crying? It's also significant because there are only two times in the Gospels when we are told that Jesus cries. One is in the Gospel of John. Many of us know it. It is the shortest verse in the Bible, John chapter 11, verse 35. It simply reads, "Jesus wept." But in that instance, in the Gospel of John, Jesus was weeping at the scene of the death of his good friend Lazarus. It was a temporary crying, a temporary weeping, because very soon Lazarus would be alive again. Jesus would raise him from the dead. It was grief in the moment, but very soon it would turn to joy. The tears in John's gospel were tears of grief over the death of a friend who would soon be raised back again to life. But here in Luke's gospel, Jesus is weeping over the city. He is weeping over the events of life that are surrounding him. He is weeping over the ordeal that he is facing. He is weeping about what he himself will soon go through and why it's necessary for him to go through it. Here on Palm Sunday, Luke tells us Jesus is crying. And he's crying because of the sadness of life. We are very familiar with that kind of weeping. How many of us were moved to tears this past week with the news reports about the tragic, horrific shooting in Nashville? How can we not weep when we hear parents, family members, teachers, others struggling to deal with the events of this horrific happening? How many of us were moved to tears this past week seeing the devastation of the tornadoes in Mississippi and other parts of our world? Some people lost everything. Many of them had very little to begin with, very little in the sense of material things in life, but the very little that they had, many of them lost, and so many of them, with tears streaming down their face, said, "We lost everything. We have nothing, absolutely nothing. How can we do anything but weep?" We know about these tears in our own lives. All of us venture through deep, troubling waters at times. All of us go through experiences in life when we're in the valley, and it's dark, and it's lonely, and it's frightening. All of us go through times when the road ahead looks very troubling. We go through those times in life where every day our stomach is in knots, where we can't stop trembling and shaking from daily stress and pressure. We know the kind of tears Jesus cried. We know all about the weeping over the sadness, the heart-wrenching sadness that life often brings us. And when we look at Jesus this morning, on this Palm Sunday, on this day where we think of celebration, and we see him crying, maybe we think, how does he do it? How does he make it through? How does Jesus face the things that he is facing? He knows what's about to happen. We know what's about to happen to him. And as Jesus looks at the city of Jerusalem, he sees the excruciating pain and suffering that he will soon experience. He knows the sorrow and the pain that he is facing and that he must endure. Where does he find the inner strength to face this horrible situation? Where does Jesus gain the faith to face what he's dealing with? Our text this morning gives us a clear picture of the humanity of Jesus. I believe this scene is one of the most meaningful aspects of the incarnation, God becoming human. In these verses this morning, we see Jesus identifying with the hard, difficult, unrelenting sadness and grief that often accompanies our experience of life. We are constantly surrounded by sadness and tragedy and grief, constantly. And here, Jesus is too. Life is hard. People suffer. We suffer. And sometimes it's all we can do, like Jesus traveling to Jerusalem. It's all we can do to put one foot in front of the other and just keep going. How do we live Easter lives when we deal with the overwhelming sadness and grief that often accompanies us on life's journey? Well, I want to invite you this morning to think with me about the differences, some of the differences between Luke's version of this story and Mark's version of Palm Sunday. We are very familiar with Mark's version, this passage we read at the beginning of the service today. We're very familiar with it. We read it almost every year on Palm Sunday, Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And it tells us about palm branches waving. It tells us about crowds cheering. It tells us that they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." But not in Luke. Luke's version is different. It gives us a different take on the same experience of Jesus' life. It's not that one is right and one that's wrong. It's just that Mark and Luke have different perspectives on the same event in the life of Jesus. For example, Luke doesn't even mention palm branches. For that matter, Luke doesn't have the crowd shouting Hosanna either. As far as I can tell, there's no mention of the donkey or Shrek or anything like that in Luke's version of Palm Sunday. There are no cloaks on the ground. There are no cloaks on the animal that Jesus is riding. Mark's version feels triumphant. It is the triumphal entry. But in Luke, Jesus is weeping. Why? Let's kind of walk along with Jesus in the procession. Let's see what Jesus is seeing. We know he sees Jerusalem. We know he sees what he's facing. What else is he seeing? On the procession that day, they pass right by the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus knows in just a few days, he will be there praying with his closest disciples. The crowd doesn't know it, but Jesus knows it. The procession continues and it travels by ancient graveyards, the tombs of kings of Israel's past, kings like Solomon and David. And Luke tells that the people shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The people call him King in Luke's gospel because they are thinking as they travel about the great kings of the past, and they're envisioning how Jesus is going to be this same kind of great king, and they know the wonderful things he's going to do for them. But Jesus knows this is not the kind of king he is. He knows this truth. Truthfully, on this day, Luke's version of Palm Sunday is not the kind of Palm Sunday procession we often think about. It is in Mark, but it's not in Luke. It isn't the tradition we've grown to love. It isn't little children laughing and dancing and waving palm fronds and people cheering and spreading brightly colored cloaks on the roadway. It isn't Jesus riding by waving and smiling to the crowd like someone on a parade. No, that's not Luke's version of this story. That's not the kind of procession we have here. Jesus is crying. It's the kind of weeping that Lazarus' sisters were doing before Jesus arrived. It's the kind of weeping that Peter is going to do about a week later when he realizes he denied his Lord three times. It is the heart-wrenching kind of weeping about the pain and sorrow and sadness of life. See, here's why Jesus cries. He knows that soon he will gather with his closest friends to tell them goodbye. He will give them a new commandment that they are to follow for the rest of their lives, to love one another. He knows one of his closest friends will soon betray him. He knows some of the same voices on this road that are shouting, "Blessed is the King," in just a few days will change their voice and change their tone to say, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus knows one of his closest friends, one of his closest friends on earth, in just a few days is going to even deny he knows him. Jesus knows that all of his friends will leave. Only a few women will stay, and they will remain at a distance. Jesus will suffer, and he will die mainly all by himself, all alone. He will be surrounded by two criminals and a few Roman guards, and that's it. And his ministry will have changed in the course of 3 years. His ministry will have changed from thousands of people eagerly following him, listening to everything he said, to a handful of frightened and scattered and confused disciples. Think about this. By all earthly accounts, Jesus' life and ministry during the last days of his life were viewed as a catastrophic failure. From thousands of people, thousands of followers, full of excitement and energy and hopeful expectations about who Jesus was and all he would do, to a small handful of people too afraid to even say they know him. Jesus is going to suffer. His tears remind us of the darkness and difficulties of this life. Jesus did this for you and me. He didn't desire it. He didn't want it. But he will go through it solely and completely for us. So this morning, if you're like me, you might think, can't we just skip this? Can't we just go from the triumphal entry to Easter? Can't we just skip the hardships that we're facing during this Holy Week? Can't we just go straight to the joy of Easter Sunday, flowers and chocolates and candy and nice clothes and family and happiness, resurrection? Can't we skip failure and go straight to success? No, we can't. To get to resurrection, we have to go through the Last Supper. To get to abundant life, we have to go through Good Friday. To get to God's love and grace, we have to go through the cross of Calvary. We have to go through the darkness of the tomb. See, we may want to crown Jesus king on this day, but Jesus is weeping. And everything seems to be a complete and utter failure. Harper Lee wrote her well-known novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, many, many years ago. And in part, the novel was written about the South in the days when prejudice was institutionalized and evil was absorbed in society. The lawyer in the book, of course, is named Atticus Finch, and he is defending a black man in a system in which that man had no chance whatsoever of winning. But Atticus Finch defends him anyway. He defends him because he knows the system is evil. He defends him because he knows he must oppose a corrupt system. In the end, Atticus loses the case. The man is convicted, even though he is innocent. The lawyer's daughter comes to the courtroom at the conclusion of the trial. She's a little girl, and she climbs up into the balcony of the courtroom. It's segregated. It's for the black folk who are there. For the courtroom is packed, and there's no room on the main floor where the white community is. The verdict is given, the judge leaves, the white people downstairs leave the courtroom, but the black community remains in the balcony. Atticus Fitch picks up his papers off the table. He puts them in his briefcase and he turns to leave through the back door of the courtroom. And the people in the balcony stand. They stand as Atticus Fitch leaves the courtroom. And the man standing beside Atticus Fitch's daughter says to her, "Stand up, your father is passing by." But he lost. Atticus Fitch lost. He was defeated. Why stand when a defeated man passes by? Wasn't all lost? Atticus Fitch was on the side of truth and righteousness. So what seemed like a grave defeat was in some ways a victory. It didn't look or feel like a victory. And we see the victory through eyes clouded with tears, but it was a victory nonetheless. And so it is with Palm Sunday. Jesus lost. He was rejected. He was defeated. He was overwhelmed by the sadness and the darkness of life, and so he cries. And yet, in God's ultimate scheme, he is victorious. This week, let us walk with Jesus through the good and the bad of life. Let us walk with Jesus. That, my friends, is an Easter life. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, so often life becomes overwhelming for us. So often our experiences are filled with pain and sorrow and discomfort. Lord, today, help us to walk with Jesus. Help us to follow in his path. Help us to know it is because of your love that we are able to put one foot in front of another. Lead us and guide us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.